Today is the 29th day of Kislev. It is the 5th day of Hanukkah. And the Shir Tanya for today begins at the beginning of Perek Dalet of Chapter 4, where the Alter Rebbe begins to describe the three garments of the soul, which each of the two souls, the godly soul and the animal soul, has, in addition to the 10 powers. Because the 10 powers of the soul have no outlets and have no points of contact with the physical world without the garments. And this is why they are called garments. Number one, because they allow access for the soul to the outside world. And just as in a person wears clothing primarily because of his need to make contact with the outside world, and when he goes out, he has to dress in a certain fashion in order to allow people to know who he is and what he stands for and so on. The same thing with the soul and its garments, that the garments of the soul are necessary only in that the soul wants to express itself outwardly, and in order to express itself outwardly, to appear in public, so to speak, it needs garments. The other reason that it is called garments is because, unlike the powers of the soul, which are permanent and once established are very hard to change, as for example, when a person thinks a certain way and understands a certain way, it's very difficult for him to see it differently. He's got to rework his whole frame of mind, and that takes a lot of effort. The same is true with emotions. If a person is afraid of something, it takes a lot of effort and hard work in order to unlearn that fear, to change the emotion. And that's because the emotions and the intellect are the powers of the soul. They are integral to the soul and therefore difficult to change. Whereas thought, speech, and deed, which are the garments of the soul, they are garments because they can easily be changed, easily be discontinued. So that action and speech can be discontinued at any moment. A person can be working at a job for 40 years, and at a moment's notice, he can simply stop. A person can speak endlessly, but at any moment, he can stop. And the fact that he's been speaking for so long doesn't force him to continue speaking. As it says in Kehelas, a time to speak and a time to refrain from speaking, a time to do and a time to refrain from doing, and even the garment of thought, which is a more internal garment, which is closer to the neshama, and that's why a person always has to be thinking. You can't not think, but even here, it is a garment because what you thought or what you've been thinking for the longest time doesn't become an integral part of you. At any moment, you can stop thinking that thought or that subject and begin thinking something else. Chapter 4. Oid yesh l'chol nefesh aliki shleisha levushim. Another thing that every godly soul has, he's describing the godly soul in the previous chapter. He continues with the godly soul. But the animal soul also has three garments, only they're not in holiness. And they are the three garments of the godly soul, are the speech, the thought, the speech, and the deed of the 613 mitzvahs of Torah. So that when a person fulfills in action all the active mitzvahs, puts on tefillin, so on, and in speech he engages in the explanation of the 613 mitzvahs. He speaks about them, and their laws, their details, and in thought he comprehends all that he is able to comprehend of the four levels of Torah: Pardes, Pshat, Zemez, Drush, and Seid, the four parts of Torah, meaning the plain interpretation, literal interpretation, the intonations, the homiletical, and the esoteric meanings. These are the four levels of Torah, and each person, according to his capacity, understands what he can of these four levels. So when a person does this, in action, he does the mitzvah that require action. In speech, he occupies himself in the discussion of Torah. And in his mind, he understands Torah. The result is, has a klolus tayag eve nafshe, all 613 limbs of his soul, miluboshim betayag mitzvah Torah, are clothed in the 613 mitzvahs of Torah. The soul is made up of 613 parts. Torah has 613 mitzvahs, and the body is made up of 613 limbs and arteries. All of these correspond because they're all tied and connected to each other. The body reflects the neshama reflects Torah, Torah reflects the neshama, and so on. So by doing and speaking and thinking Torah and mitzvahs, all parts of the neshama gain access and expression to the physical world, into the physical world, in that the neshama is actually doing, thinking, and speaking words of Torah or deeds of Torah. And in that way, through these three garments, the entire soul finds fulfillment. Every aspect of the soul is expressed. To better understand the function of the three garments, and why dafke are there three garments, machshava, dibur, and maisa, we'll understand it by looking at the difference between the garments themselves. The first garment is the garment of machshava. Machshava means thought. When a person thinks about a subject, for example, the subject is another person. So if I'm thinking about another person, my thoughts are completely within my choosing, within my control. I think of the person as I wish to think of them. So my thought of the person is me, my thought, my being, imposing itself on the other person. This is how I think, this is how I see the other person, this is the impression that I get of that person, so that it is me forming an impression of the other person. So I remain fully within my realm, I stay within my universe, and I observe and make observations about the other person. The other person hasn't influenced me at all. And so it's myself remaining within myself, forming an opinion, my opinion, my view of the other person. The opposite extreme is action. Action, when a person does something in the physical, with a physical object, the physical object demands a certain kind of treatment. A person can't do with clay what he can do with water, and he can't do with water what he can do with oil. The object dictates to the person what can be done, how it should be done, and what is impossible and cannot be done. So in action, the person leaves completely his world, his realm, his universe, and submits to the dictates of the physical object. So the physical object, the action, takes the person away completely from his status, from his state, from his private, personal level of madrega, and he has to give himself and submit himself to the dictates and the demands of the action, of the physical object. So here we have two extremes. In thought, the person remains completely within himself, not influenced by anything outside of himself at all, even though he's thinking about another person, but these are his thoughts and his impressions, and the other person isn't imposing it at all. And that's why he can have a totally false impression. And on the other extreme, the garment of action, The garment of action takes the person away from himself completely, and he is totally dictated to, or the act is totally dictated by, the object, by the external. In between these two extremes, there is the bridge, there is the garment of speech, which is a little bit of each. On the one hand, a person speaks only to another human being. In other words, only to another being with equal intelligence. At least they're equal in that they're both intelligent, although their intelligence may be varying in degrees. So on the one hand, he is not leaving his state or his position as a human being, as a mensch. He speaks on his level, at least in a general sense. He speaks seichel. That's why he is not able to speak to a tree, because a tree is completely out of his realm, not in the same world as he is, and therefore they don't communicate. On the other hand, if he is going to communicate, if he's going to share his ideas, and if he's going to articulate them, he has to do it in consideration of the listener. He can't just speak as he feels like speaking, using words that he feels like using. He has to use words that the listener can relate to, can understand. He has to speak in the language of the listener, and he has to speak at the pace that the listener can follow. So that here in speech, you have a compromise, a middle ground between total surrender to the external versus remaining totally internal within himself. And that's why there are three garments. Because in every process, there has to be the state in which you begin, the internal state, the step towards the external, which is the bridge between yourself and the external world, and then the devotion or the submission to the external, doing what has to be done according to the needs of the situation or of the object. The same is true also in the powers of the soul, that they get broken down into seichel, which is called chabad, essential middos, which are called chagas, and then secondary middos, which are called nihim. Nihim is like the action part of the middah. Chagas, chesed, gvura, teferes, are the middos themselves, and chabad is seichel. Seichel, like thought, remains within the person. He remains within himself in understanding or comprehending the world. In middos, he makes a move towards the external, towards the other person. Chesed demands that there be a person who receives your chesed, and so on. And then Nihim is more the action part within the middah itself, and there you are dictated to completely. You have to do what has to be done so that the circumstance or the external dictates the behavior. In the Hayyim Yom for the 29th of Kislev, the fifth day of Hanukkah, the Rebbe writes, the Avedas from the Yidden, in their Zeit from the Yevonim, the sins that the Jews committed in the time of the Yevonim, days of Hanukkah, seinen gewen, das chaveren sich mit die Yevonim, fraternizing with the Greeks, lernen their Kultur, studying their culture, or adopting their culture, chilul Shabbos u'mayid, desecrating Shabbos and Yom Tov, essen treifes, eating non-kosher food, unisht hitten the Yiddish tara, and neglecting the Yiddish, the purity, the holiness, which is the laws of mikvah. The shtrof tzara, what was the negative result? The punishment suffering is given the geistige churban from Beis HaMikdash. Number one, the destruction in the spiritual sense of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash wasn't physically destroyed in the days of Hanukkah, but spiritually it was desecrated. Harige unshkwaferai in Golos. And then also death and enslavement in exile. He mentions here Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras HaMishpacha. These are the three mitzvahs that make up the Jewish home, the Beis HaMikdash of the individual Jew. So the spiritual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash came about by neglecting or desecrating Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras HaMishpacha, and death and enslavement, Golus, comes from learning the culture of the Greeks by submitting to them. We cut ourselves off from our true source of life, and that is, in a sense, death, cutting off our source of life. And by submitting to them, we make ourselves available for slavery in Golus. Durch tshuva mesiras nefesh, through tshuva, with mesiras nefesh, if you come in the grace of getlach evunder Yeshua, then that's Chanukah. As a result of the change of heart, the tshuva, and the mesiras nefesh that the Jews did at that time, that brought about the godly, miraculous salvation, which was the miracle of Chanukah.